Nice.
Go rehab.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, it's episode 28 of Nice Girl Rehab. Working 9 to 5, part do. And we are with Maeve.
Hey.
And Harper. So we left off on our last episode. First of all, let's just say that we have an announcement for our listeners that both of us have jobs now. This is more relevant than ever before, the fact that we are both professionals with big girl jobs. So with the big girl jobs comes less time. And unfortunately, we weren't able to record when we wanted to record. So recording times are going to be a little bit different, but we're going to be working it out. And hopefully we can get to a point where we are making scheduled recordings again, at least me. So I'm very happy to be doing the next half of this episode, because this is a topic that I think everyone can relate to, that we just really need to talk about, because there's just a lot of things that we want to get off of our chest about this. So we, on our last episode, talked about working relationships and just the whole life cycle of jobs when you are searching for a job, when you're applying, and then when you're doing the interview process, how that kind of relationship can become toxic and the ways that you can deal with that. So in this episode, we are ending this segment talking about what it is when you actually get the job and you're on the working floor, what that environment's like, what kind of relationships can you stumble into, toxic or healthy relationships, and just the fact of possibly quitting a job and doing a resignation letter and what that's like, and possibly even walking out of a job if you hate it that much. So let's start the episode with just kind of talking about what it's like after getting hired and those first couple weeks. What exactly goes through your mind, Maeve, when you are newly hired on a job? What are you really looking for? What do you think are some red flags that you just know instantly when you step into the scene that, oh my God, this job is gonna suck?
Usually, so obviously with everyone, usually your first week or two, or, you know, first couple months are always really exciting, just because you're doing something usually new, or you're at least in a new environment. So, you know, a lot of us tend to have those, rose-colored glasses going in, because there's an excitement and you have the adrenaline pumping and we're like, yes, finally I got the job I wanted. It's going to be awesome. I think one of the biggest things with getting a new job and having kind of that naivety when you're starting is we miss red flags such as the people we're working with. If they're not happy, there's obviously a reason. So a huge example is my last job. When I first started, there was a girl who was training me, and she's always happy. She's just that person that's obviously a robot, and she like never gets upset about anything, yeah, which is a red flag in itself, because you're like, she's definitely a sociopath. But when you see the other people and they're stressed and they're like, oh, I can't wait to go home, and they're not necessarily telling you it's a bad job, but they're not saying, oh, I'm so happy that you're here, you know, it's going to be so fun working with you. They're really just like, oh, okay, you're new. Well, I hope everything works out. Those are things where some people may say, oh, it's just because maybe they've had a bad experience. But if everyone or most of the people you're working with are saying things like that, you need to be paying attention. Not because necessarily you'll have to leave that job, but you may be faced with a similar predicament that they're in, where you're like, wow, this is really shit.
Yeah, because I mean, when you're going through the interview process, of course, whoever is trying to hire you on is going to give you the whole sales pitch. They're going to do everything possible. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're kind of lazy about it. But some jobs, especially if they know that the turnaround rate is really high, they will talk up this job like it's fucking like gift to the world and best benefits ever. And everybody loves working here. Oh, we're all so happy. And, you know, nothing bad ever happens.
And that is honestly such a huge lie. Like I had said to you earlier, Harper, one of the things that I've read is every job has its own shit sandwich, but it's up to you what you're willing to eat. So are you willing to deal with maybe bad management because the job itself is great? Or is that just something that, you know, if you're starting to hear people say, oh, well, you know, I had an issue with this manager and then this supervisor, maybe you need to start reconsidering, okay, this may not be the job for me, especially if you're starting to be impacted in a negative way with your work because of those managers.
Yes, absolutely. It's kind of what exactly are you willing to take? And of course, that's something that you're not going to really know the first week. But I think it's a good rule of thumb for people, especially when they're in the interview process, to just kind of look around. When you're offered on site to do an interview, that's perfect. Especially like if you ask somebody, hey, can I take a tour of possibly where I would be working? Definitely say that. And if you do get the chance to do that, look around and see people's faces and see, you know, do they have bags under their eyes? Are they stressed out? Are they like walking around like they're about to shoot up the office or something like that? Like, or are they really friendly? And you can see that there's a camaraderie in the office and you see that the bosses aren't talking down to their employees. That's really huge and something that you should definitely consider in those first couple weeks for sure.
And there's also the people, it's the subtle things that we don't realize where maybe everyone is content with their job, but you end up getting stuck with a person who is just really, they've just had really negative experiences and they're just talking down, but you're the one who has to work with them. Even just having one person who feels negatively about the environment, they can actually influence the way you respond to certain things.
Exactly.
So it's like you may actually be content with what you're doing, but if this person constantly says, oh, wait till they do this to you, or I can't believe they did this again, maybe when a manager or someone is critiquing your work, even though it's nothing intense, you have that person's voice in the back of your head, and that's created this toxic environment where now you're assuming that you're going to be going through the same things, and in a way you actually manifest those things to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely had a situation that's gone on about that I had talked to you about previously. At this new job I'm working at, obviously I'm not going to disclose what it is, but you know, you have a training process that you have to go through, and same is true for this job. And one of the trainers is actually somebody who doesn't work for the company, but comes in and helps. And, you know, first day this girl was talking about how much she just didn't like the job and how much, you know, she was offered full-time position, but turned it down. She's like, I could never see myself working full time here. And she's like, I'm so glad that you are, but have fun with that, basically. And that's the first day. Like, of course, I'm kind of like doe eyed and like, oh, I've got a job with benefits now. And she's like, well, have fun with that, sister, because it's going to be hell on earth after this. And I'm just thinking, how much of that is true and how much is that just negative experiences on her part? That's just her perspective. So in that way, like, I'm not really sure if it could possibly be like that in the long run or whatever. But either way, her negative viewpoint did kind of make me question, am I like doing the right thing? Is this the right place to be? Like, it really did plant that seed in my head, and it can manifest in a pretty toxic way if it's not true, you know, because then you're thinking, oh, wow, like you're on your guard now kind of thing. But I think with those kind of situations, you listen to those people, but you take it with a grain of salt. And I'm the type of person that if I hear somebody say something like that, I'll listen to what they're saying, but I like to have proof. So I'm going to see for myself what it's like before I actually believe what they say, you know?
Exactly. I think another thing that is a red flag is, let's say you don't know the people you work with, like you've never met them before, but within your first couple weeks, they ask you about your entire life. Oh, where are you from? What have you done? And they're trying to get really personal. I've actually found in my experience that some of those people are trying to gain information about you to eventually use against you.
Yeah. Well,
or to talk about you in a way that harbors negativity for you, because then there's maybe gossip going around that really isn't anyone's business, but now other people are involving themselves in your life. And I'm like, and you know, and you, I was like, okay, we need to just kind of back up here, because I didn't tell you anything. And it can create this hostile environment, because now you're like, who can I trust? I can't talk to anybody. People know my business. And it's, you know, why are they talking to me about it?
Yeah, I can see where that could come from. Also, I mean, with certain jobs, there are those people who are just extremely nosy and want to know everything about people and may not be malicious about it. But in your experience, I definitely see that that was what was happening there. And also, I mean, if anybody is going through that type of thing, because I mean, if you're the new person, everybody wants to know about you anyway. It's kind of like the new kid at school. They're going to be asking things, and some of it is just kind of shallow shit. Like, they just want to know a little bit about you, or maybe just even remember your name kind of thing. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where if you don't want to disclose that information, don't feel like you have to be nice. This is another situation where being too nice might actually bite you in the ass. So if you just don't feel comfortable disclosing all that information, just kind of like revert the question, or just kind of say, oh, I got to get back to work, or, you know, you don't have to disclose that information. If you want to be a little friendly and say, yeah, I'm from such and such, and I went to the school or whatever, go ahead and do it. But I don't think that you should feel obligated to share too much information, especially if someone feels like they're prying that information out of you. Definitely don't allow that to happen.
And there's actually a beauty in people really not knowing a lot about you, because the ones that don't, it actually can make sometimes for a good conversation when you're ready to bring it up. And sometimes you don't want people knowing too much, just because, at least for me, I find it's like a vulnerability. And there are a lot of people who work, especially in office jobs, people who've been there for a long time, it's like everyone in the office knows about their kids and their life and their situations. And that also brings in outside drama. And you kind of have to weigh, if I start giving all this information, maybe they're going to feel like they can give me information, which then turns into I'm trying to help you with your outside problems not related to my job.
Yeah.
When, like, really, you're like, I'm here to work.
Yeah, there's a thin veil between work life and personal life. That can cause
very thin.
Do you want to share, you don't have to, but do you want to share like a past experience of where work and personal life just kind of got too close?
Oh, yeah. one of the things that actually happened was, this is actually a long time ago, and this is something that I feel is relevant because I actually didn't openly tell people. My ex-boyfriend, he worked at the same place I did, and at the time we weren't dating, but we were interested in each other. You know, we would kind of flirt at work, so it was obvious to other people. But what happened was people started to talk about it at work. They started to ask me questions, and they would say, you know that, you know, my ex-boyfriend was hooking up with this girl and that I should watch out because she may be upset that we're actually talking on a romantic level and she may try to do something to hurt you. And it's like, hold up. First of all, we're at work, so I have no idea why you're bringing this up to me in the middle of a shift. Second of all, that's none of your business. And why would I even care to know that? Whether or not he is, technically it doesn't matter because we're still just having a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons why when I found out that people were talking about it, I stopped talking about anything in my life after that. Going into other jobs, I said, you know what? I'm not going to bring up stuff and I'm not going to show things because people will bring in the drama and then they will try to make it a huge thing because they're bored with their lives. And even at my recent job, when I would tell people certain things about, my dad being sick, they would constantly pry, like, oh my gosh, when did that happen? What? And then they would make it about them and they would start talking about all of this other drama in their lives, like, oh, well, my boyfriend, he went through this. And it's like, okay, I really don't want to hear all of this. And I don't appreciate everyone bringing my stuff into work unless it's something I have to talk about. It created like a really uncomfortable environment for me, and I felt weird, honestly. I felt like I can't come in and do my job because you know too much. And now you're trying to make it into this thing where, oh, I completely understand if you need to take time off of work. And then I would take time off of work and it would be thrown against me saying, well, why are you taking all of this time off? I understand that he's sick, but other people have things that they have to get done. And it turned into this thing of we know too much, so now we're going to talk about it and bring up our stuff, but then we're going to throw it back in your face when you do have to take time off because now we know so much about you.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those things, like the depression game, or like the game of like, oh, well, I suffer more than you, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That definitely turns into this kind of like penis showing game of who's like had the worst things happen in their life.
Yes.
Like, you don't really need to have that in a work environment for sure. And I think, a lot of work places, I mean, there are definitely some that are great about bereavement and about any kind of thing, mental health problems or anything like that with their employees. But I've seen a lot of employers really not handling bereavement or people who have had grief very well in the workplace. I think it's kind of almost like medical leave in my experience of grieving and things like that. I mean, it's almost the same as having a physical ailment in some ways, or having deep depression or something like that. So, and I feel like people, there is a connotation that we should just get over it, or you shouldn't sulk around because it's not going to do anything for you type thing. And of course, everybody is different in their grieving. But yeah, the way that people handle it in the workplace sometimes is very, they're not very empathetic, it seems.
Oh yeah, a lot of times, one of the biggest things, especially in Western society, is time is money. So if you're missing time, especially if you work in an environment that's customer service based and sales based, a lot of managers and owners look at that as a negative because you're making them lose money. Their business isn't making as much money because now they're short staffed. And to go into this further, my boss, actually, the job I left, did bring up the fact that my rationale for taking time off to go visit my dying grandfather and then to take the day off that he died was pretty much not justifiable because I couldn't change the outcome. Which didn't even make sense because it's like, well, grieving isn't meant to be changing the outcome of death. It's meant to be a healing process. That's what it is. It's for you to accept and to get out the anger or frustration or sadness or whatever you need to get out towards the idea of you're never going to see this person in human form or talk to them ever again. I mean, this is just something that everyone is going to have to deal with. But he took it as, well, it doesn't make sense because you pretty much went away for a whole week as if I went on vacation. And then they offered me the rest of the time off after he had died, but they wanted me to come in the day he died. And I said, no, I'm going to take off the rest of the time. And I wanted to attend his funeral, but I couldn't. But I wanted to take that off for my mom and everything. And he used that against me to say, that just doesn't make sense. And for you to do that pretty much gave me a write-up because he said that that was pretty much blatant mistreatment of the bereavement policy that he has.
Yeah, and those kind of things, and that was like a very stupid and dickish thing for him to do.
Yeah.
And I think some companies do have bereavement leave, but at the same time, grief is one of those things, and I mean, I've been through it. The people who haven't been through it, like you said, you're going to go through it. And yeah, some people die, you really don't care about them, but there are people who are going to die in your life that you absolutely love, and you will hate and loathe the day that that actually happens. But it will happen. And yes, people handle it differently, but especially when you're in a customer service environment, I'd rather not walk into a store with somebody who is visibly depressed and possibly on the verge of breaking down in the store. You're not going to really be able to sell anything to anybody with
Oh,
that
yeah.
kind of attitude. And it's kind of like I'd rather that person be at home and not a danger to themselves or anybody else. I mean, not that you would be, but it's just kind of like you're really going to be losing money either way. So why would you not allow somebody to do it in a way that is healthy for to help them get back to their healthy state? And I mean, like I said, grief is one of those things that I've experienced, you have, but the people who have experienced it know that it's not something that you can just turn on and off. It's a cyclical kind of thing. What is it? Like the seven stages of grief. There's a lot of fucking
Yeah,
stages of grief.
yes.
Okay, so you got to go through that whole thing. And there are going to be days where, like, it's been a year or 2 years after somebody's died, especially if you really cared about them. And, like, one day you're just going to be really sad for you feel like it's no reason. But I mean, it's just, it happens. So, in that way, I think we really need, as a society, really, but especially in the corporate sphere, which I mean, there's so many problems with that in general of treating people like machines. But, understanding that grief has to kind of be handled like, I don't want to say completely like short-term disability, but in a way you are disabled. You have a mental process that you're going through that you're not healthy mentally.
And it's extremely unhealthy for an employer to not only judge the way you grieve, but to then throw it in your face as a write-up to actually tarnish your reputation with the company.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things I hope people know is when they say they have bereavement days, that actually is meant to say, hey, we will pay you without using any vacation time for these amount of days to grieve. But this doesn't necessarily mean this is exhaustive of how much time you're actually going to need. They're just stating we're only going to pay you for 3 days of bereavement before it hits PTO or just missed time.
Right.
And he tried to say that bereavement times, the amount of time that he gave, which was 1 day for a non-immediate family member and 2 days, was what you should be taking. And I just thought that is the most, like, you're telling me if my father died to take 2 days off and go right back to work.
Wait, so what counts as a non, what was it? Non immediate family?
Cousin, a first, so any cousins, aunts or uncles.
It's like, what?
I know,
Like,
because I'm like,
you
there are
shouldn't
cousins
care
who are
that
like
much about
siblings.
these people.
Yeah, exactly. So the point was he was trying to say 1 day was sufficient for someone who's non-immediate, and then for your immediate, which is brother, sister, mom, dad, grandparents, 2 days was sufficient. And I thought he was insane when he said that. I was like, you must be out of your fucking mind. Like, to tell somebody, now, granted, I will say this, his father passed away and he actually is in another state. He traveled to our state, to our offices for a meeting the day his father died.
Well, like we said, there are people who that's how they get over it.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's not very healthy to not even acknowledge that it's happening and bury it inside. But some people do need to bury themselves and work to help them process. And some people need that time. You know, it's just dependent on the person. But he can't go around saying, oh, because I decided. I mean, his father could have been a shitty asshole. Like, we don't even know.
For all we know, he could have been abusive and he was there spitting on his grave.
Just dancing. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, and that's another thing. It's like, okay, your relationship with your parents might be different from someone else or any other family member. So you can't just assume that, oh, that's your grandma. Okay, well, your grandma's just a grandma, so you shouldn't really care that much. Whereas for me, my grandmother died and she was like a second mom to me. So that's a little different than what other people might see.
Yes. But that is a true example of a toxic work environment. If a manager or a boss tries to tell you not only how to live your life, but that your decisions for yourself are insane because they don't understand them.
Yeah.
That is someone who will never, ever be on your side if something were to happen. And those are usually the people that usually say, well, you know what? Maybe this job isn't for you because you need all this time. So we'll just let you work your 2 weeks and then you can go.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, what we were kind of talking about is that work-life balance, because at the end of the day, yes, we're coming in. Yes, we're putting in our time. We're doing these jobs, some more effectively than others. But at the same time, we do have lives outside of our jobs. And that's just as important as when we are clocked in. And those things that we do outside of our job do determine our success in our job and vice versa. The things that we do in our job affect the things we do outside of our job. So understanding that work-life balance for the employer and the employee is something that definitely needs to be kind of talked about more and open. And I think that in terms of disability or in terms of just like dealing with things that happen emotionally or something that is very traumatic in somebody's life that could also affect their work life is something that should be more openly discussed as well.
I'm actually going to add to that and say another part. Now, granted, if you're in a management position, it may be different, but another part of our generation that's suffering from the lack of work-life balance, when managers and your coworkers think that after you're done with work, they can still text you about work.
Yeah, this is a great point. This is definitely something that has changed dramatically. Not only do we have online applications compared to the hand paper applications we used to have. Now, I mean, it's so much easier to keep in contact with people and stay in contact with people. That's another thing with technology and social media and everything like that, that, yeah, your boss or whoever, your coworker can get in contact with you in several different ways. I mean, they could have your Facebook, they could have your phone number, your email. All of these are attached to our phones, and most people like me, you get an alert on your phone when someone sends you an email. So I'm able to see that whenever they send me an email too. So it's like you're never away. You have to force yourself to not look at it or just shut it off.
And it's really, that is a huge thing. That is a huge infringement upon your personal time where you should be relaxing and taking care of the things that matter outside of your job. And when people do it consistently, it's one thing if there was like an emergency and they needed to tell you because tomorrow morning it was going to affect your work. It's another when it's consistently happening and they're, you know, calling you or emailing you or texting you in the middle of a Saturday while you're with your family to say, oh, I just wanted to let you know that this. And it's like, but I'm off. I don't want to be thinking about what's going to happen Monday, Tuesday. I want to be here in the moment enjoying myself, and now it's almost like they've taken away the enjoyment because now your mind is going towards, like, shit, I gotta do that on Monday, or, oh my God, we're gonna have this happen. And it becomes this 24/7 working lifestyle with very little rest other than sleep.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I think the only time that is kind of expected is if you're an entrepreneur, or yeah, like you're a manager or you're in a high position where you need to be on top of everything all the time. But even CEOs take time off. They shut off their phones. So, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur or you're a business owner or whatever, yeah, that's just part of the territory. You're going to have to do it. But everybody else, shut off your phone, please. And don't give people all your shit. Don't give them your number if you don't want them to
And
contact you.
you have a right, and on another note, you have a right to say, I appreciate you letting me know about the schedule change, but for future notice, I do not want to be notified by you texting me or emailing me on my time off. If you need to get a hold of me, you need to wait until I'm at work. You have a right to put up those boundaries and say, when I clock out, do not text me or email or do anything regarding work unless it's an absolute emergency. Or even then, just say you need to make sure that if it is an emergency, you're only contacting me one way. Don't try to get a hold of me and harass me on my personal time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's healthy. That's you're setting your boundary. You're not that nice girl, nice guy, and I mean the actual ones, the super one, nice ones who just want to be on the good side. I want to be the good employee or employer, and I want everybody to be able to contact me. And that's gonna really bite you in the ass. It's gonna be annoying as hell. People are gonna like overstep your boundaries. They're gonna call you in the middle of the night when you're asleep, asking you for shit, and you're gonna really regret it. So definitely pull back a little bit and be like, okay, do I really want these people to contact me or be able to contact me this easily? And also, if you have the option, don't have a work email open. Don't even put it on your phone.
Oh, and I made a big mistake when I first started, and they were sending emails at like 8 o'clock at night, and I just said, absolutely not. This is getting off my phone.
Yeah, I kind of had the idea, because I mean I've been working like on my own for a while, so me having all these emails open, it is definitely overwhelming sometimes, but I'm kind of used to it. But I thought about putting my work's email on here just in case, so I had access to it. And my boss was like, "Don't do it." She's like, "It'll be here tomorrow. Don't do it."
Exactly.
Kind
You
of
will
like.
get to it when you get to it, but enjoy the time that you are away.
And I was like, "You're right." And I didn't do it because I knew it was going to be just like ping, 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 like all day, just tons of shit coming up on my already three mailboxes I have on my phone for like 40,000 spam emails and everything else that I get during the day. So it's kind of like, yeah, just don't do it. And then also, I don't know how people are with their jobs, but some jobs may require like group chats, like group text, group chat.
Oh yeah.
Turn that shit off. Please turn it off.
Especially when it starts, and this has happened again to me, when it starts getting irrelevant and they're like, oh, well, I just, and they start making jokes. It's like, no. No. If you want to make jokes, you take this outside of this group chat. But the business is already done. You did what you needed to do. I don't want to keep getting like 5 to 10 messages like every minute because you're just having a full-on conversation now.
Yeah, definitely don't. It's just too much. I don't want to know about everybody else's shit that's going on. Like
Yeah.
it's definitely like you're in the cubicle, like you're at the water tank, and you're talking to each other, and like you just never left. It's like a perpetual
Yeah, like you're
purgatory.
still there.
Yeah. So those are some good tips, I think, keeping that work-life balance while you're working at whatever job you're working. You know what? Let's take a little break. And well, first let me ask, do you have anything else to add when it comes to just working in general and like the relationships you have with people?
I mean, for myself, and this is just what I have experienced, so this is what I do. Honestly, go to work to do the work. If you want to make, like, friendships, you can, but make sure that the friendships are outside of work. So you can hang out and be friendly outside, but make sure when you're going to work, you're going for work. You're there to do a job and get paid for it. It will just make things so much easier, not confusing the personal and the professional. And it'll honestly help your day go by because people, if they notice that you only come to do the work, they're only going to talk to you about work. But if you allow at any point for there to be an overlap, it can get really dramatic and really toxic very quickly.
I think I'm going to say I do agree in some ways what you're saying, and I think part of that is like you've been burned quite a bit from that.
Yes.
I'm going to say that it does depend on the work environment because we all pretty much have an idea about how it is, and if you've got a lot of people you're working with who just cannot shut up and always like to say negative things about other people, then it's probably in your best interest not to share as much. If you guys are kind of just chummy and it's a thing where you know each other previously or you know a little bit about each other, but of course, when you're working, you're still doing a good job and you're doing, all your friendly stuff outside of work or whatever, then that's fine. But I do think, yes, at the end of the day, you're coming to work, and you don't want to be disrespectful, you don't want to be inappropriate, and you don't want to spread around gossip. That may or may not be true. Even if it is true, it's not worth it to spread it.
No.
So don't allow people to perpetuate that. If they're going to talk to you about other people, you can guarantee that they are talking about you to those other people. So don't perpetuate it because I guarantee it's going to come back to you.
Oh, and
Somebody's
it has
listening.
to
Yeah.
me. So I can definitely guarantee, and you don't want it to get to the manager before you figure out that, it's going to get back to you because the
Or
manager is going to get mad.
it's the manager.
Or, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to kind of end this. We're going to quit this episode, just like we would possibly quit a job and see what are the circumstances that would come about for people quitting. What's the best way to quit? And do a resignation letter, and we'll talk about our stories as well. So, we will be back after this break.
Hey.
Hey. So, quitting, resignation, the final chapter in a shitty job that everyone has experienced. I don't think I've ever, knock on wood, I don't think I've ever experienced just getting up and leaving a job. I think usually I stick it out, and I fortunately haven't been through very shitty environments to the point where I'm so fed up that I'd rather just walk away from the situation while it's burning. But I know it happens, and I mean, you have definitely had this happen. You've done this several times, I'm sure.
Yes, I actually have. That's terrible.
But I
Oh my
feel like
gosh.
sometimes it's kind of warranted. I mean, I know that
No,
it's
it
unprofessional because obviously, the whole format is give 2 weeks notice and give your little letter of resignation and blah blah blah. But a lot of these jobs are food industry, and let's be real, food industry is hell on earth sometimes, and they just don't play by the same rules. So
No, it is, and you know what it is? Really, there's no real structure to it. It's a very chaotic environment, and that can cause, a lot of frustration, anxiety. I mean, I can't tell you, I never had a panic attack until I started working full time in the food industry, and it was just when you work 12 to 14 hour days, like 5 days a week, it's completely exhausting, and especially if your managers are not kind, it definitely does not make you become a better person. I will say though, there are times where when you walk out, it's really because of the way you've been treated and you're just very overdue for quitting. I did walk out of a job because I had messed up. I forgot what I messed up. I can't even remember. That's how stupid and trivial it was. But I messed up something, and my manager, in front of everybody, he said, "Are you fucking stupid?" And he started yelling at me. And I stopped him and I said, "Well, I guess I must be if I'm standing here listening to you say those things to me." And then I left. Yeah.
Damn.
But that's like sh that's straight up verbal abuse. And at that point, he had been doing it for the past like 2 months. It was long overdue. I should have left the first time that he kept being abusive, like in the same day after I had said, "I'm just, you know, I'm trying my best," and he would almost mock you like he was a child. And it just became so toxic that I said, "You know what? You can take care of this by yourself."
Yeah, I feel like there's quite a few things that go down, especially in the food industry, man. I don't even know. Like, it's just the amount you get paid for the amount of abuse that you handle is just so crazy. I don't know how people do it. I mean, I've only been working, you've worked in food industry longer than I have. I've been on the
All of my working career.
I've only been on the retail side, only worked like barely even a year as a server. So even like me working that small of a time, I can tell just okay, anybody in food industry will understand this, but I can definitely understand why like maybe 70% of the staff, let's say the servers, the cooks, the dishwashers are probably like substance abusers.
Yes. Oh man. And sometimes on the job.
Oh,
Like
all the
that's
time.
how the like that's like on their breaks.
I think there was a guy that came in when I was working at the CB. I think people know what this is, but it's a restaurant, Southern cooking restaurant. Hint, hint. I think somebody came in one day, and I think he was a cook, and I think he was on meth while he was working. And of course, everybody knew it because you can't. It's not a drug that you can work on.
Obvious high. That is like you have the nerve to show up here like that and think that we're just gonna overlook this.
Yeah, dude was probably like crouching towards the ground or some shit. Like, probably like
Well, I had a cook come
really.
in on coke and they had to send him home because he was just super high. He was so out of it. They're like,
So,
bro.
I mean, well, with Coke, I mean, they'll get their job done quickly, for
But he
sure.
was just sweating and it was like he had the shakes or something. I was like, this guy needs to go home.
Yeah. So, oh my God, there's so many damn stories that you could tell from the food industry perspective. So, I mean, in that way, I mean, yeah, it's definitely unprofessional, but honestly, most of the food industries like jobs, you're gonna have walkouts all the time. It's just very intense, very stressful in some environments. And you know, sometimes the managers don't make it any better too. So that's definitely for sure. But what would be whenever you're working a job and you are getting ready to quit and you're getting ready to do a resignation letter, how do you think you should go about that?
So first things first, regardless of whether you walk out or you put in your 2 weeks or you do a formal resignation letter and you put in your 2 weeks or you put in more than your 2 weeks, understand that anything can happen. And no matter how professional you try to be, there are just employers that will say, you know what, just make today your last day. And they'll just let you leave. Even if you didn't plan on starting a new job for a couple months, there are employers who will say you can just leave then if you're going to leave. So I will say if you're scared, first of all, before you do anything, if you're scared that this may happen, try to hold off because you're not really required to give an employer any time. It's at will at most places, so you can just kind of leave. It's just a courtesy. So if you're not willing to go more than a month without a job, try not to tell them unless you're confident it won't happen. Try not to tell them too far in advance because there are a lot of places that will just let you go or they'll make it very difficult for you to work the rest of your time.
So basically, right before that 2 weeks starts.
Yeah, unless, like I said, if you wanted to put it in for a month because you said, well, if they let me go now, I'll still be okay, then that's fine. But if you're like, I can't go longer than a whole pay period, if it's like every 2 weeks, do not. Yeah, I would say just play it safe, expect the worst, and just put in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would also say just make sure if you are planning on quitting, I mean, it's always good to save, but I think that it's especially important if you've got jobs that really, I mean, any job you can get fired from or laid off from, but just have a savings, have some kind of savings, some kind of safety net that you build. It may not be very big, it might just be like $1,000 or something, but at least something that kind of eases that stress because anything can happen. And at least if you get fired, you have some kind of leeway and at least a little bit more time to kind of do a very thorough job search, as opposed to maybe being really stressed out that you don't have money and maybe choosing another shitty job on top of it just to get the money. So it's
Yeah.
probably in your best interest to at least have some kind of safety net before you start quitting your job.
I would say, with being professional, though, let's say everything does work out and this employer you know is gonna let you work however much time. If you're quitting on good terms and there was really nothing negative, it's really more of like a thank you. For, the opportunity to work there, to be able to learn all of the things you've learned, and to come away with that experience. Because regardless of whether you've been doing the same type of career for 20 years, every single job you've had that's a different employer is always a new experience. If it's negative, like mine was, please list and be honest with why you are leaving. Not because, I mean, there are places that may read it and take it into consideration, but a lot of places are just going to read it and they're going to be like, well, you know what? Whatever. That's just what she thinks. We're not going to use that as any way to change our business. But it lets them know and it kind of solidifies exactly why you're leaving. It's like, no, I'm not just leaving because, like, what they try to call us millennials, job hoppers, because we don't stay somewhere for 25 years. No, I'm leaving because of XYZ. Whether the environment was toxic, the management was toxic, there was a shortage of people that actually, I mean, this was happening with us. Management was not addressing that we were working on a skeleton crew, but they consistently added more work for us. And at some point, it becomes so overwhelming and you realize they don't care that you're like, then why should I care about doing a good job? And so, just mentioning things like that in a resignation letter can just help to make sure that you're covering everything, right? If they ever tried to come back and say that you never put in a letter or you didn't work these 2 weeks, you now have proof. Definitely save it. You now have proof, plus you have the exact cause of what made you leave in the first place.
Yeah, and on the employer side of that, if you've got people walking out or you've got a high turnaround rate or whatever, and I mean, you do kind of want to better yourself as a company or better yourself as a business, definitely take into account that it could be part of your end and not just because of the employees. And consider what exactly led up to that. How you could have handled it differently. And especially if someone does give you a resignation letter, look at it. Look at all of those resignation letters. If they give you examples of what's going on, then you can at least have some way of at least getting to the cause of the problem, and just take it into consideration. It's kind of important. I mean, if you've got at least like one walkout is bad, and it depends on what it is. Like we said, food industry, it happens all the time. But, you know, if you're constantly getting people leaving, there's something going on. And maybe you don't care. Maybe you just want to have a warm butt on a seat type thing. But it could be that you truly do want to help and build up a better company and build up better staff and have people stay. You just don't know why or what's going on. And it may not be that you have to even really spend that much money. Maybe it's like you need to fire one central person and hire someone better. Maybe it's that, I don't know, maybe the scheduling system you're using isn't very adequate or has something that it could change in it to make it better. I mean, it could be very minor things that you can change that don't require a lot of money. So that's something that I think a lot of employers need to kind of like look at a little bit more and not think, oh, they just weren't right for a company. Like,
if everyone's putting the same cause, that's definitely an issue you should be addressing. If it's the same, if everyone's putting the same reason, toxic environment, management, you need to really reassess what's going on.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else? I think there were some, did you want to share a story where you kind of had a situation where you were quitting and it just didn't really turn out the way that you wanted it to? Or...
Honestly, this sounds very terrible. I have never given a 2 weeks until this point.
Okay.
So I actually am the person who's had, you know, like 1,001 jobs since I was in my teens. Mm-hmm. And because they were those food jobs that really I didn't care about because I was in college and I felt like there was something better, I would just kind of leave. Or they would cut down my hours so much that me not putting in 2 weeks really wasn't affecting the business. Honestly, I would just say that I've left because I knew it just wasn't right for me anymore. But every time I've left a job, except for maybe the rare couple, I've always had another job waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, if you're going to just leave, just make sure that there's something there, unless you can sustain your lifestyle or even just your bills with the money that you have and not go dead broke. Having something as like a backup is just so much easier. And no, I mean, for me at least, I feel bad that I didn't put in 2 weeks sometimes. But also understand that if that company didn't want to keep you, they wouldn't say you can work your 2 weeks. They would just let you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really, I mean, honestly, most of the stories that I have, I mean, they're really just me. As a lot of people I've worked with say, I ghost. I just kind of disappear after a while. Like, I don't tell them I'm leaving. I just kind of float away and I never come back. You know, but I mean, the other walkout I've done, I had a huge anxiety attack and I lied to them. And I'm like, I'll be right back. I promise I will be right back. And I ran to my car, texted my manager, I'm not coming back. And I drove home. It was just, that was just the kind of day I had. I had another job though. So really the anxiety came from, I was working two jobs. And I was working a ridiculous amount of hours. And at some point I said, you know what? I have to save myself. And I'm going to be no good to these people if I'm burnt out.
Yeah. And when you were telling that story, it was kind of funny because I could see you doing that for sure. But I just had this
terrible.
Yeah. I had this image of like the dad turning to his son and saying, I'm just gonna go out for cigarettes, I'll be back. And then the son watches him drive away and he never comes back.
And I promise these people, like, they're like, oh, please, because it's so busy. And I'm like, I know. And I'm just like, oh, I feel so bad. But it was honestly, I was like, I can't do this. I've quit, like, and I cried in my car because I felt so terrible, but I was also stressed. But I will say, I knew it was the right decision because when I left, I had the biggest sigh of relief and it just felt good because it just wasn't, I wasn't meant to do that. I wasn't meant to be there. Of course, I felt guilt for the employees that were there because then they were stressed, but that just meant that they made more tips that night and they just didn't have me like slacking and
Yeah.
going crazy, maybe even having a panic attack. So when you're quitting too, understand the situation you're in. If your mental state is like on the verge of a breakdown, don't even bother trying to stick it out to be professional. I mean, people say it's burning a bridge. It doesn't necessarily have to be burning a bridge. If you can just say, I got it, you know, I'm not going to be coming in anymore because of this, this, and this, most people aren't going to penalize you and make it a living hell for you to get another job.
Yeah, just being upfront is one thing. Don't do what Maeve does and just leave. I mean, if it's that bad, I guess, but for the most
But
part,
don't lie and say that you're coming back. That was the bad part.
don't
Don't
give them false. Don't give them false pretense that you're coming back and just leave. I'm just trying to imagine what they were like sitting around waiting, and then like in the next 10 minutes, they're like, "She's not coming back." The realization.
It wasn't that they were sitting waiting. It was so packed
Right.
that at one point they didn't realize until like 30 minutes later. They're like, oh my gosh, like, where is she? Because it was so busy that they just didn't even have time to look
Right.
and see me. Yeah. And then that's how they found. And they laughed. It was funny because I actually hung out with those same people like 3 months later and they all laughed at me and they're like, we didn't care. We made a ton of money that night. But they're like, we thought something happened, like you had died. So we were more scared, like you went to your car and just never came back.
Just drove into a lake or something.
Yeah, but you know, and then that shows you, man, I shouldn't have lied. I should have just, and sometimes, you know, you have to overcome that too. You know, there are people who are like, I feel like that all the time, but it's like, but you'll never not feel like that if you allow your anxiety to get you every time something gets stressful. So there are times that I've wanted to just quit and I've just had to take a deep breath and say, if I wake up tomorrow, I'll be happy. But in a week, when I still don't have a job, am I going to look back on the decision to quit because it was stressful and say, yeah, that was a good choice? So sometimes you have to kind of reel it in too and understand, am I reacting just solely out of like an emotional reaction, or is there something behind it that really needs to be looked at? It's knowing yourself, right? And knowing what you can and can't handle.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good time to end the episode. I think that we covered a lot of different things when it comes to just work in general, all the different steps that come into getting into the workplace, being in the workplace, and exiting the workplace. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where a lot of people think, oh, I'm being paid so I can deal with X, Y, Z, as opposed to, this is somebody I'm interested in dating. And of course, there are people out there who will deal with certain conditions with other people just because they don't think they're highly of themselves, or you know, they are in that scarcity mode where they feel like, I don't have this, so I need this. Whatever comes to me, I will take it. And it's kind of the same with a job as well. And I think it's
Yeah.
important for people to build their confidence. Especially when they're job searching, because it can get quite depressing in a way when you're getting all those rejection letters, which is inevitable. But to keep your head high, know your worth, ask for that money that you know you're worth. And when you're in the job, don't allow people to overstep your boundaries. Say, hey, when I'm off on the weekends, I don't want to be contacted. Don't talk to me. Okay.
And don't let them don't don't let them get inside your head. Make sure that the thoughts that are in your head are your thoughts and that they're not planted, because that can change a work environment entirely. Even people outside of your job who have maybe worked a similar job and who are maybe saying things and you're bringing that in, always go into a workplace with no expectations, or at least nothing that's going to say this job's going to be perfect, there's not going to be this issue, because every job is going to have an issue, but someone's issue may not be your issue, if
right.
you have any at all. So you just have to really make sure that it's you making decisions and that it's you perceiving things because of how you feel and how you perceived, and not because of someone else's influence.
Right. Yeah. And if anybody is talking shit about someone else, know that they are also talking shit about you as well. So be careful what you say. It can come back around.
Even the slightest thing, such as, God, I really hate it when he does that. It's like a game of telephone. People take that and they say, she said she really hates you because you're lazy. I didn't even say that. That those words didn't even come out of my mouth. And they will take what you said and turn it. And because I'm an honest person, they ask me, it's like, well, I said that it annoys me when he does that. But because they've already said the worst thing, it makes it seem like regardless of how you said it, you're just trying to make it sound better. So, you know, you really have to watch. Even if it annoys you, try not to spread things about a specific someone. Even if you have to just express it, just say, man, I get really annoyed when things aren't done. But you don't need to address a person or make it about somebody, because that will just come back and just be a nightmare.
Yeah. Okay. And for the employer side, from small businesses to huge corporations, these people who work for you are people. They're not cogs in a machine. Yes, you probably see them as money bags, little money bags that move. But really, at the end of the day, you wouldn't be where you're at without all these people doing the grunt work. So be respectful of their time and their space. When you're doing interviews with people, don't give 9,000 fucking hoops for these people to go through. They probably have a second job. They probably don't have time to put up with your bullshit. Make it simple. Make it easy to understand what their job title is and what their roles are. And be respectful of these people as well. And when they're coming to interview with you, for the love of God, just tell them, hey, we didn't like you. That's better than not telling them anything at all.
It's a waste of everyone's time. And if time is money, then you can't waste the potential employee's time.
Right.
Because for them, waiting and maybe turning down other interviews is a loss of money to them.
Right. Quitting can be kind of hard and a soft spot depending on where you're at, if you are financially able to quit a job, or let's just say you got fired or laid off. It's one of those things where, yes, you should definitely write a 2 weeks notice or like a resignation letter or something like that. Sometimes you just end up walking out because you're so stressed out and the work environment is just that toxic. Either way, what you did is what you did, but you have to consider that you are affecting the other people when you do what you do. So at least if you can give notice, understand that you may not get that 2 weeks. So be prepared, have a savings in place. If you're the employer and you see that all of your fucking employees are dropping like flies, maybe you should consider what's going on in your work environment. There could be someone in there doing something to cause all this. It could be as simple as changing a very minor thing that's not going to cost you thousands of dollars. So just look at it and see what's going on. If people are telling you the same thing's happening or the same person is causing problems, listen, these people are working there. These people know the day-to-day things and activities that are going on.
Yes.
You probably don't. So listen to them.
Especially because a lot of bosses now, corporations have a single spot and a lot of the stores are in other states. So you're definitely not, you don't even understand what's going on with someone in Florida compared to someone in California compared to someone in Texas if you're in Ohio.
Right.
So you really need to take what they say as the truth, or at least somewhat, until you can really find out, you know, do some digging. But you can't just say because of where you're at, you know, well, I, you know, that's not something we need to worry about. It's like, but this is a different place with different people and different laws.
Exactly. And I guess I'll end this by saying, Walmart, you should be ashamed of yourself for doing that to your old employees and disabled employees who you call
Oh,
greeters.
and Sonic too, just a new one. Sonic, who has in Ohio taken wages from their employees by saying, instead of paying you $5 an hour, we're going to pay you $4 an hour plus tips.
Which, who the hell actually tips Sonic? Every time I come to Sonic,
I don't. I forget. I do. And
because
I've worked there.
I'm thinking that they're being paid fast food wages. Fuck you, Sonic. Fuck you, Walmart. I'm probably still gonna go to, I went to Sonic today, so
I know.
honestly.
I'm the worst person. But I did. I will say this. I did call their headquarters when I was there because they were so short-staffed. And just to let you know, if you're talking to a customer service rep and you don't curse, they have to sit there and listen to you the whole time without hanging up.
Oh, great. Well, everybody call Sonic's headquarters. Talk very politely, but tell them how disgusted you are with what they're doing to their employees. These people aren't servers, they're fast food workers. And honestly, they should be paid just as much as a Starbucks barista. So get your shit together, Sonic. And Walmart, you need to have a job that is good for your elderly and disabled employees. Don't do this runaround bullshit of this customer experience. Whatever that is. I mean, I can get all of my food perfectly well on my own, and I really don't want to have to deal with another asshole when I'm trying to just get ice cream or something like that. Just give them whatever job that they need, give them the training if they're able to do it, or at least give them options when they're leaving the job. I know that they're probably going to give them some form of notice before they fire all these people,
Maybe
but I
even
would love
stubborn.
if Walmart could take all their billions of dollars and give all these people severance pay for their disgusting actions.
Seriously. No, I completely agree with all of that. And it does anger me to see this happening, especially in this day and age when every company is making like record profits.
Absolutely. Well, this is the year of the pig, and there are a lot of pigs out there, but the employee has the upper hand this time around. So take advantage of it. Don't take too much advantage of it. Still be a professional, but make these employers understand that without your labor, they aren't anything. So
Yeah.
at that, let's just end this episode. Thank you very much, Mae, for coming back on and finishing up this segment.
Anytime.
And we will be back on. I'm not really sure what my schedule is going to be for these episodes, but I will definitely let you guys know when I post my next episode. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for all my listeners who have stayed with me even in this time. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.